Amen. Praise his name. Are you thankful to once again be out? Amen. The Lord's brought us in. Let's all stand if you would. Let's bow our heads as we open the service. Lord Jesus, Father, we're truly, Father, when we miss a service, and Father, it just makes everyone just more precious to us. Lord, the opportunity to be able to come together and to, Father, have you speak to us under the anointing of thy word and thy spirit. And Father, to be able to receive it, Lord, beside our precious brothers and sisters. Lord, truly, it's a grand privilege. I pray, Father, that you would just bless us. Keep us each and every one. May your will be done. And just open our hearts to the word, what you have for us today. Bless the songs, Father, as it prepares us for thy word coming. And may you get the glory and honor in everything. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Still a little scratchy. Amen. Turn with me if you would. I'd like to start in our big books on 179. Amen. Softly and tenderly. You feel him wooing you this morning? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and oh, listen, hallelujah. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death's night is coming. Coming for you and for me.
Saints, it's a privilege. Amen to serving. Amen. Praise his holy name. Page 705. Let's sing this. I really love this song ever since I found it. Amen. Is your all on the altar? Serious question, Saints.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. And have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar you're all you must lay. Oh, is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we can know what the Lord will be of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest with the whole. Amen. Who can tell all the love He will send from above? And how happy our hearts will be made. the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all think about it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Is your all the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart doth the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Amen. Sing it again. Think about it. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, hallelujah. Sobering thought, sobering question. Amen. Let's sing over on 383. Amen. So familiar song, man. So true. He's all I need. Amen. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. I take
truly put my all on the altar. Lord, you showed me how short I am, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's all. Oh, you're all I need, love. He's all I need. Jesus, He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, He's wonderful. Do you truly love Him, saints? Oh, He's wonderful. Sing it. I love Him. Oh,
I love Him. I love Him.
Praise His name. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. All saints, how could you not love Him? Amen. What He's done for us, what He's doing, guiding us in this last great hour. Amen. You may be seated. Praise His name. Brother Luke, would you like to come? Blessing, if you will.
Lord, we thank you for the price you paid for us to stand here and worship you. We pray that you have been the same. Bless the service and bless this offering from the upper room of your kingdom.
Make me more like thee, dear God. Make me more like thee, Jesus.
And make me that's filled with love and make me more like thee.
Praise his name. I may have something on your heart. Need a request. Amen. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful, Lord, we'll be able to be back here today, Lord, to worship you.
Yes,
Lord. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you mean to us, Lord. And God, while we just pray, Father, that we'll truly love you, serve you with all of our heart, Lord. And God, God, that our desire will be to please you at all times, all things, Lord. And we pray this morning, Lord, for every need, every hand that was raised, Lord. You know the need, Lord, whether it was spiritual or physical or material, Lord. And we pray that you'd meet the need, Lord. Remember those that are sick and afflicted, Lord. And you'd reach down your hand, Lord, and touch them, Lord, and strengthen their bodies, Lord. And by God, just strengthen their desire to please you, Lord. And we pray in the name of your word that comes forth, that you'd anoint that. Thy God, the next of the one that bring forth your message, Lord. Thy God, the anointed son, lift as they speak, Lord, to him. Thy God, be from you, Lord, today.
Yes,
and
Jesus.
You just need to help us, Lord, to receive your word, Lord. And may it bring forth truth in our lives, Lord, that we become more like Christ. And thy God, we live for you, Lord, and let our lives be a light. Thy God, in this hour that we're living in.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would you have a song this morning, Karen? Does anyone else have a song? Maybe a chorus on your heart. Something bubbling. Amen. You know, he's been so good to us, saints. He's wonderful to us. His grace goes beyond all understanding. Amen. Well, let's all stand if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing the little chorus, Amazing Grace. If you ask our brother to come, I just feel his grace in my life.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Sing it again.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh, again, we're so thankful and so appreciative in our hearts that you've given us this wonderful opportunity once again to be gathered in the house of the Lord. Father, to gather around the Word of God that's so inspired, Lord, as your Scripture said it was. And Father, today we ask that you'd help us to be receivers of that inspired Word of God. That, Lord Jesus, it would help us to become more aware of what you want us to be in this day and how you want us to act and how you want us to respond to different things as it comes up in life. We ask that you would do that for us, Lord. The only thing we can do as a man, Lord, is present that word back to us. As Apostle Peter said, will you stir your pure minds to the way of remembrance? And Lord, that's what we've come to do today. And it takes your Holy Spirit to do the rest now. We ask that you would do it for us now as we open our hearts to you and trusting, Lord, that each one of us has been able to lay aside all the cares of life, all the things that take place in this life. And Lord Jesus, have our hearts and affections centered on things above and not on things of the earth. We ask now that you'd help us to do so. In your glorious, precious name we ask these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? Amen. Glad to see those who could make it today. Some are still sick, not feeling good, but by God's grace, God will take care of it. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me, to Matthew, the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. Amen. I just kind of feel constrained to hold off on a little message on the prophets, and the Lord laid this little message on my heart for this morning. So that's what we're going to do, and to everybody can get back and make sure everybody's healed up and everything. But Matthew 7th chapter, and let's read a very familiar scripture this morning. And we'll begin here at the 25th verse. Now, this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Amen. I want to draw our attention to something, and it made something that made me think about it and meditate on it more was something the prophet said. And putting God first, and this is what I want you to draw from this morning, is putting God first in your life. You know, we've preached many a message in almost 40 years of preaching and about putting God first and God being first in our life and everything. But we find here that there's a special something I want you to notice this morning. And as he said here in the 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And thinking of that, of course, we know that is Jesus Christ, the Word. Seek ye first the kingdom. And I think about this specialness, you know, as kind of mentioned to Brother Josh when we was talking there a little bit the other day, and Brother Brandon spoke of it in the Church Age book. We live in such a nervous, complex age. Where everything is just everything pulling and drawing and distracting. and tearing away from the very purpose of God to be manifest in our lives, and tries to get the people upset and stirred and worried, in which we see a lot of that going on right now, people getting worried and they're afraid of what's going to happen and what's going to take place. And you hear all kind of people saying that they've never seen a year that this year has been so far. Of all the calamities and all the terrible weather conditions and things that's happening, hurricanes and fires and killings and all kinds of things. And it's like some of these large cities, I believe, where somebody murdered or shot every so many minutes. I think one of them was Chicago. And people are seeing this constantly. Of course, media and news is more available than it ever has been. And people are aware of these things and they see it more and they're becoming worried. And they're afraid and they know something's happening. They know something is going on and to where it's causing they have no peace, they have no rest. And, you know, if we're not careful, we can be the same way. If God doesn't give us that peace that is needed in this hour and the assurance that we need in this hour. But there's something about it, though, putting God first. Out of all this mess and all the garbage and just evil things going on, how could a man or a woman or a young person ever keep God and make God first in their life above everything? But the thing of it is, there's something that a blessing comes with keeping God first in your life. And Jesus spoke of it here, this blessing of keeping Him first in our life. That where it would be something that God would take care of things. I wonder, as we sit here this morning, this little message this morning, as we bring this, how many of us really truly assured and feel good about it that God's going to take care of me regardless what happens?
Amen.
Or do we sit there and worry about, well, is it going to get bad and I'm going to lose this? Is it going to get bad and I won't be able to eat? Is it going to get bad and I won't have a job? Is it going to get bad for this? Huh? Or do we really truly have peace in our hearts? It's like the little song says, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storms. Though the storms around us may be raging, truly, life is raging.
Amen.
Things are raging and tearing to pieces, not only physically and materially, but spiritually. Things are being torn to pieces. Men and women's hearts are failing them for fear.
Amen.
Their lives is in a shamble, to where even people that claim to be Christians, their lives turn into a shamble, to where they have no peace, no rest. Are disturbed about things in life. Just remember, if we're disturbed about things in life and things disturb us, peace isn't there. If peace is there, there is no disturbance. There's nothing to disturb us because peace remains. And the peace and knowledge and wisdom of God burns within our hearts, you see. So just keeping that in mind first, what Jesus said in the scripture there. Let's turn our Bibles now to 1 Kings and 17. 1 Kings and 17th chapter in the Old Testament. And let's listen here to something that took place. And keep in mind, as I said, keeping God first. Because then we'll read something that the prophet said concerning this. 1 Kings and 17th chapter, and we'll begin to first verse. You're all familiar with the little happening that took place here with this great prophet, Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. I hear God was using his prophet at that time to speak about what was to take place. They might have had rain up to that time, but now there was going to be no rain nor dew fall until Elijah gave forth the word that now it would rain. Okay? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, again, him being a prophet, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Look at that. He didn't have to worry, did he? Nope. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Notice what he did. He obeyed. He did according to the word of the Lord. Okay? Now we've been getting a lot of word in this day. A lot of word. He says here, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, there's that word of the Lord again coming to the prophet. Amen. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Somebody else that didn't have much left. Think of that. God sent his prophet to depend on somebody that didn't have much left. But God had something he wanted to do. And he says here, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was in her last moments. Her and her son both. Because of the famine, the drought in the land, there was no food being raised. And here there was nothing left. Now she's down to a handful of meal and just a little bit of oil in the cruse. Okay. And Elijah said unto her, thank God for his prophets. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now my goodness, that would sound like if we didn't see it the way God looks at things, it looks so foolish. Feed me before you feed yourself. You know? But God had a reason for it.
Amen.
He says, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. Here she knows she's just got a little handful now. But now look what's going to change things. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, She knew enough. That was God speaking to a prophet. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. She knew a lot more than a lot of people in this message know. Yeah. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, could you imagine if she was like a lot of people in this message, just following it? By the time they get done asking her questions and trying to figure it out, how it's going to happen, and just what does this mean, and all this other nonsense that goes with it, Elijah never would have got anything to eat. If this little woman would have been like most of the people in this message. But immediately, she obeyed. She knew there's something going on there. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. And she went and did. Nowhere is it recorded she stood around and asked, what business you got telling me to do this? Here are me and my son starving to death, and you're telling me to go get this done anyway. So many people are like that today. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. I'll tell you what, that Elijah spirit came in this age too.
Amen.
Yeah. And she and he and her, I'm sorry, let me back up and just get to catch it again. The barrel of the meal shall not waste, for thus saith the Lord, the barrel of the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Just think of the blessings we would get if we would just do what God's prophet said. Wow. You mean even become a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Christ the mystery of God revealed, becoming under that full, complete preeminence of the Word? Yeah. Just think what God could do.
Amen. Yeah.
And the barrel of meal wasted not. It just kept coming in as it kept going out. Wow, imagine that. For days until it rained. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Amen.
Look at the word God has spoken through the prophet Elijah in this last days. Oh my. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth.
Amen.
Oh my. Look what the precious Lord has done for the bride of Jesus Christ. They have let them know that the voice of God was in his mouth. That as he spoke, it was God speaking. Do we realize how precious that is to really know and understand? Which we'll get to later on in our message as we go back into the prophets. Do we realize how precious that is? That truly in a reality, I'm not talking about just speaking it because the mind's just so fuddled up with all kinds of just trash and garbage and intellectual and everything, and it just speaks things and don't know what it's even speaking. I'm talking about a reality. They know it was God speaking. It's kind of a little off the subject of what I'm going to this morning, but just to bring it back again. Look what people today would do if they really truly knew it was God speaking to that prophet.
Right.
Even some of us here. How different it would be.
Amen.
If we knew it was God speaking. Would I then have to continue to hear it maybe 7, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 times? Or would the first time be good enough? Would the first time that I heard it be good enough that I knew it was God? As I said before, you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ would come up here and stand on this pulpit and talk to us today, again today, probably without a doubt how much different this little message today would be. If they could see with their eyes and scientifically prove that Jesus Christ was standing here.
Amen.
Or they could touch him and feel him and oh, I know it's you now. But in this age, it's supposed to be people that see by faith. And recognized by faith. Something that only the Holy Ghost alone can reveal and put it in their heart that when they hear these words, they know it's God. Regardless of what's standing there, regardless if they can't see anything. Faith no longer is faith if you can scientifically prove something. No. But remember, to walk by faith is what our walk is to be by. Not by sight. As Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? Will I find faith upon the earth? Or will I find people that has to see a physical being with natural eyes that can see something with their eyeballs? And in their brain they can think, there's a physical form there speaking now. Oh, I better trust that that's God now. Something to think about, isn't it? But look how different, I wonder, we would be changed today if Jesus Christ would stand here and you could see. It'd be a shame for that to have to happen for this age. Yeah, it'd be a shame that God would have to present himself in a physical body that we could see when he already said, it had to be by faith now. By faith. It had to be revealed to you. You had to see it by revelation. Not by physical form. Oh my. Something to think about.
Amen.
And we'll further get into that later on. Continue on. Let's go. I'm going to read from Be Certain of God. This is paragraph 23. Again, now Brother Branham's speaking about this widow. And this is paragraph 23, and this was preached July 8, 1959. Around about daybreak, now he goes in and kind of puts a little more to where we can see things a little better. He said, around about daybreak, all night it had been horrible. She'd been gradually getting lower and lower in the mill, and that night she knew that when she put him to bed, her little boy, now her father was gone. She was a righteous woman, a God-fearing woman. And that night, I remember those things. She was a righteous woman. She was a God-fearing woman. In other words, God said something. Yes. Not, oh, why do you want this, Lord? I can't figure this out. I can't mentally put this together, Lord. I pay attention. And that night, I can see them as they knelt down to pray. And as she looked at his little pajama arms, and they were threadbare, his little face was marred from hunger. She gave him a part, she says, and he said, she give her part to him because she knew just a little longer and they'd be gone. There was no bread in the land. There was no meal. There was no oil. There was no rain. But yet she trusted God. She couldn't sleep. Every once in a while, he'd turn over and say, Mama, why don't you go out to the cupboard and look one more time and see if there's just one bite of that bread left. I'm so hungry, I can't sleep. How'd she bite her lips until they would bleed? She'd go out into the kitchen and raise up her hands and say, Oh, Jehovah, I'm a widow who believes in you. And you took the little boy's father, your servant, up into the heaven to be with you. And if you don't help me, it won't be long till we'll be visiting him. Nevertheless, whatever you do, I love you just the same, and I trust you. It seems strange when a person has done all that they can do, that they have fulfilled every request that God has asked them to do. Can we answer that? Can we answer God and stand before him and say, I've answered every request, Lord, you've requested. Remember, there's the ones that sought the kingdom first, and all these other things shall be added unto them. There's no worry. There's peace. She fulfilled every request that God had asked him to do, and still he was silent. It seemed like God wasn't listening. When you've done all that God has requested you to do, and still he's silent. How many of you have experienced some times in your life? I have. Just be sure that you know God. And remember, faith is silently waiting. He's only testing your faith to see what you'll do. God does that. Yeah. Oh, it was horrible to watch her child dying. And she waited. Then I see her take a little nap and wake up. And she looks at her little thin body and he's dozed off to sleep. And she's seen the great ditches in his face from hunger. And she could hardly stagger around. Just about a bucket of water left, a handful of meal, and a spoonful of oil stood between her and death. Isn't it strange how God lets his children get right down to the last moment? Oh, sometimes he permits that to see your reactions. The Bible said, if we cannot stand that the chastisement of God, then we are illegitimate and not the children of God. He says, we're born of the Spirit of God. Our faith in God holds onto his word and sets to his word. And there it holds. Now watch. She goes to the kitchen. She scrapes down the barrel and gets the little handful of meal. She said, he will wake up in a few minutes and cry, and I'll cook the meal. And then he will have his little breakfast, whatever it is, a little corn cake, see? Then I'll take him in my arms and rock him until death takes us both. Now she went to the last thing she had, and that was the meal. Now, meal in the Bible represents meal offering. The meal offering was Christ. Christ was the meal offering in the Old Testament. Do you remember when Elijah, some of the old school preachers up there, didn't know the difference between wild gourds and peas up in the school of the seminary. And they went out and gathered an apron of them and put them in a pot. And some cried out, "There's death in the pot." And Elijah took a handful of meal and threw it into the pot and changed it from death to life. That's what Christ does when he's put on the case of dying, or put on the case of a dying man. He changes him from death to life. The meal offering had to be ground with a certain burr. That burr had to be so perfect that it would grind every grain of corn just the same, showing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. She got the meal, Christ. Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, then the oil represents His Holy Spirit, and she took the Holy Spirit, the Word and the truth. Jesus said, "The time's coming," to the woman at the well, "that God will honor those who worship Him in spirit and in truth." Many people worship in spirit and not in truth. How true that is today. Many in truth and not in spirit. Isn't that something? Remember we preached that message on that a long time ago? Let me read that again. Many people worship in spirit, not in truth. And many in truth, and not in spirit. But when you get them together, then you got something. When the Spirit of God gets in the Word, she's mixed it together. And when you get the Spirit of God on you and mixed with God's Word, something's going to happen. The doctor might have sent you home to die with cancer. And all man knows, see, he's done everything he knows in his knowledge of the books of learning to save your life. He wants to see you live, but maybe he don't know no more. But you take God's Word tonight and mix it with the spirit of faith. Watch what will take place. She began to mix this. I was using this in type now, watching mixing this. Meal and this oil. Now he says, she began to mix this. Now, he says, it won't mix good unless it's got some fire under it. Remember, she gathered the sticks to make the fire, to make the bread. Okay? It has to bake it into bread, which makes life. And when she got her little meal and oil mixed together, the Word and the Spirit, then something said, "Go out in the yard." At the same time, the Holy Spirit picked up the top. He said, let me back up. At the same time, the Holy Spirit, upon the top of the mountain where this old prophet had been setting up there, said, "Go down into the city, for I've got a widow down there. I have ordained her to sustain you." She must have been a righteous woman, or God would have never sent His prophet to stay with her. But God knows your needs. Oh, thank God He knows my needs. She went out into the yard. The prophet took off towards the city with a vision, trying to find a yard that had a woman in it. Because see, that prophet, being a prophet, already seen in the vision what this woman looked like, what the yard would look like, and everything. So he takes off to go looking for this yard the prophet's showing us. And he was walking down the streets looking for the vision that the Lord had showed him. And at the same time, she come out of the house. Did you notice? She picked up two sticks. Two sticks was the cross. I'm a hunter, and any good hunter knows that the right way to burn a log at night is to light a crossed log and just keep pushing the ends in. She had to light that and then put the meal and oil together, and that was the Word, the Spirit with the fire of the Holy Ghost, to bake it into a hoe cake, a life-giving substance. She picked up the two sticks, and she started back into the house to put the oil and the meal over the fire, and she heard a voice. And when she turned, there was a gentle-looking old man, whiskers all over his face, bald-headed, leaning over a gate, with a piece of sheepskin wrapped around him. And he said, "Would you fetch me just a little drink of water?" Now watch that God-fearing person. Watch that God-fearing person. I like that. God spoke, she moved. That's what being a God-fearing person does. Watch the God-fearing person. It will always willing to divide. She looked at him. He was just a little different than a lot of men. And there's something about Christian that's different. I can imagine her saying, "That voice just sounds real good to me." Oh my. You ever have that when you're listening to the tapes? "That voice just sounds real good to me." It does to me. Oh my. She nodded her head in the politeness that she would go and get some water and divide it with him. And as she started to go, she heard a voice again and said, "In your hand, fetch me a little morsel of bread." Then she turned, and no doubt with tears in her eyes, she said this, "Sir, that's why I was out in the yard to get these two sticks. I just got a handful of meal and a spoonful of oil. I mixed it together and dressed it. And I've got these two sticks to make a fire and bake a little cake for my son and I. We're going to eat it and die." And she looked at him. And he said, "But first, make me a cake. But first, make me a cake." Can you read between the lines? "But first, make me a cake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Put God first, he says. That's what I read. Put God first. Put his word first. Can every one of us sitting here, including me standing today, can we honestly stand, or you sit there today, and answer the question, have you put God first? Have you? In every circumstance in life, have you put God first? Don't worry if you can't answer it right, or you don't want to answer it right. There's somebody that already knows what the answer is. Amen. Have you put God first? Put his spirit first. Put him first. Instead of that, we put him last. But he says, "Bring me a little cake first." And she did. And from then on, everything was okay. Is that right? Yeah. Even when it comes to death of her son, everything turned out okay. He says, what's she going to do? See if she's obedient to the word of God. She turns and starts, not knowing why she's doing it. She just obeys. Oh, if people in this message could be like that today. But they've got to figure everything out first. I hope those that will get and listen to this message by the way of the disc will listen to what I'm saying too. And what he's saying there. If you didn't ask so many crazy questions, maybe God would have an opportunity to move.
Amen.
He says, men and women who are led by the Spirit of God sometimes do things they don't even know what they're doing. You're going to do any good sitting there to keep asking, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Huh? What makes a difference? If God said it. Again, it goes back. You don't really know who's talking to you. You just think it was a man, a prophet, that done some mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. That passed off the scene. You don't see him no more. And you're supposed to follow what he brought and what he taught. That's why you battle so much in life. You can't get what you need in your life. You have to struggle for it. He said, turn and started. Let me back up and catch it again. What's she going to do? He's going to see if she's obedient to the word. She turns and starts, not knowing what she's even doing. Men and women who are led by the Spirit of God sometimes do things they don't even know what they're doing. Turned and started into the house, and then she heard that voice again. That glorious word came from his mouth. Thus saith the Lord. She knew who it was then. But Brother Steve, Brother Bram didn't say, thus saith the Lord, when he got done saying that. Again, you don't see who it is.
Amen.
And do you realize how many people in this message will not take a lot of things the prophet said because he didn't say, thus saith the Lord, after everything he got done saying? Showing they don't know. I'd say more, but it might hurt too much. Thus saith the Lord, she knew who it was then. The barrel will not be empty, because God said it's not going to be empty.
Amen.
Oh yeah, it was that Elijah man standing there. Excuse me. But she seen what was coming from that voice. She knew it was God. The barrel will not be empty, neither shall the cruse run dry until the day the Lord God sends rain on the earth. Why? She was willing. That's more than a lot of people in this message can say. That they're willing. She put God first. She put God first. She was sure that God would do something now. And she held on. Hallelujah. Many times troubles strike our home. It's blessing in disguisements. Some people might say, well, you're sick just because you're not right with God. That doesn't mean that. Job was right with God. And he was sick. But it's God testing you, putting you to a test to see what you'll do. Maybe you'll let the doctor say that for a purpose, to see what you'll do. We're near the coming of the Lord. And God's coming for a church.
Amen.
He never asked the question, will I have a church? Will I have righteousness? But here was one question Jesus asked. I find faith when I come. Will you find faith? That people really knew that it was him speaking through that prophet. Will it be revealed to them? Not an intellectual knowledge, but a revelation. God's putting you to a test to try your faith. And all of her trouble and death at the door turned with one. One turned. All of her trouble and even death at the door turned with one. Thus saith the Lord. She and her son and Elijah eat many days from the barrel. And it never did waste, neither did the cruse run dry. Because she was certain of God. Oh my. Time's running out. Let me read this one more thing here and we'll close for this morning. Well, it'll take too long probably. It's 3 pages of it. Amen. We'll stop there for this morning. I don't want to hold you too long. Amen to his word.
Amen.
Hope you listened this morning. There was a lesson in it. Amen. And again, we didn't just gather here this morning by chance. God knew exactly what we'd hear. He knew exactly what you have need of.
Amen.
Amen. And he knows that he needs to be first in our lives still, as religious as we are. As well learned as we are, he still needs to be first in our life.
Amen.
Before anything else. And can you realize and recognize that God through his word is speaking to us? That should be all it takes. That should be all it takes. Or do we have to go back on what some past preacher told me? And keep referring back to something that ain't worth a hill beans? But this is the way he believed. This is the way he's seen it. This is the way this preacher in North Carolina said it. And I seen it that day and I was so excited when I seen it. And this is still the way it is, I believe. If it doesn't line up with the word, you'll burn in hell the same as that preacher in North Carolina is.
Amen.
Yeah. See?
Amen.
Saints, you don't fool with God. God's word is the ultimate, not some man's idea. God's word is the ultimate. And God gave us a prophet of the age. And you better pray and cry out to God that you can fully recognize it was God talking to that prophet. Not just sit there with your mouth and say, I believe Brother Branham was the prophet of the age. And I go to a church that believes that he was, and I listen to him read from those things, and I agree with those things. You better do more than agree.
Amen.
It better be a life. Yeah. There's a lot of difference in knowing God and just thinking we know God. Yeah. But as the word already said, this is life eternal.
Amen.
To know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. This is life eternal. Not very many know him. But they that know him already have eternal life.
Amen.
It was given to him before the foundation of the world. Many will struggle to try to find him and struggle to try to know him, but they'll never know him. But God has predestinated people to know him. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And they that have found him and see him and know him, I may read to you later, will always put God first. So you can ask yourself that question today. Another question. Have you made him first of everything in your life? If you hadn't, you don't know him. For if you have once come in contact with him and know him, you'll always put him first. Yeah. So may we need to know him. May we need to come in contact with him. Greater yet. God's blessings again be upon us. Again, he is here. Hallelujah, he is here. Amen. Why don't you, sisters, come to the instruments, please? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Let's sing that little chorus on page 299. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Thank you, Lord. I believe he's here. I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Close. hear what it said? You'll never be the same. You'll always put Him first. Hallelujah. Sing it again. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. Who can touch Him? You will never be the same. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh, we appreciate You so much. So precious in our hearts. And Lord, we realize that Your grace and mercy that let You be that in our hearts, that made You that way in our hearts, that made it we could see it that way in our hearts. So precious. Lord, I pray today that this few little words we've read from what Your prophet said, Lord, it will become a greater reality in our hearts. Father, we'll truly put You first in our lives. Do we put You first, Lord, before we decide to go somewhere? Did we put You first before we picked up something to use it? Did we put You first before we took a certain job? Did we put You first, Lord, before we taught our children? Did we put You first before we walked into the little tabernacle? Did we put You first, Lord, in everything in this life? Oh God, we have this assurance that if we do, all these other things shall be added unto us. Lord, You'll truly be our provider. You'll truly be our healer. You'll truly be the one, Lord, that comes in the midst of the storm and calms the waves. Lord, You'll always be there. If we seek first the kingdom, all these other things shall be added unto us. Lord, help it to be a greater reality in our hearts here and those that may have the opportunity to listen, Lord, to this little message. Regardless who it is, Lord, oh God, and may they not close it off because, well, they don't think it's them. But Lord Jesus, how many times has this word come across the pulpit? The Father, people would close it off to themselves thinking it's not for them. And yet, Lord, Your Holy Spirit was trying to penetrate and dig into their hearts and remove the crust off their eyes that they could see. The eye salve was coming forth. We kept wiping away with cares of life. Oh God, help us now. Lord, we haven't got much time left. It's getting closer now, the appearing of the Lord. Just think now, Father, as we sit here and think. It's almost 2 weeks, 2 weeks closer now than what was the last time we was here. Oh God. Look how quick those 2 weeks went. Help us now, Lord. Be with us. Bring us back to the next point in time if You should tarry. And may we give You again the glory and the honor and recognize our purpose in this life. In Your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank You, Lord. He is here. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise Your name. He Hallelujah. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus.